Bill Spadia is compensated for commercial and nonprofit appearances. The opinion of the hosts, callers, and guests on this program are not those of New Jersey 101.5, Town Square Media, or station advertisers.
.609 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Happy to be with you till 10 o'clock this morning on this kind of rainy Wednesday morning. Couple things you need to know today. One, the at-work payday is back, and I'll have a cash code for you at 8:20 and 9:20 this morning. Remember, October 9th, which is tomorrow, you'll have an opportunity to win $10,000. Today it's just $1,000, but you could probably use that too, right? And after the 9 o'clock news anchor Eric Scott and I will be participating in the Spadia Hate-O-Meter. Eric, I'm very much looking forward to today's Hate-O-Meter.
Yes, me too.
We're almost next level. And some related to the show, some related to politics, but all really just, as you say, delicious to the point you want to pour syrup over it.
That's right. You know what? We got to call Peter at the Ewing Diner and see if he can bring pancakes this morning.
Oh, that would be good. I'm going to the Ewing Diner after this. I've got a meeting there. As you can see, I'm all dressed up for this meeting. I've got
my
hat, my sweatshirt. not a formal meeting. It's an under the radar meeting.
Okay.
Anyway, but it's a great meeting place, Ewing Diner.
Oh, it absolutely
is.
Yeah,
the breakfasts are fantastic.
Yep.
So, couple things I want to ask you tonight. I can't get motivated to watch this debate tonight. And I said yesterday on behalf of our audience, I will watch the debate and take notes for everyone, but I don't know. I don't know if I can get through it. Are you going to watch it?
I will. I'll watch it. It's at 7 tonight. I'm not really expecting anything. It's going to air on the ABC stations in New York and Philly. They're going to have moderators from New York. I don't expect...
So no Jersey moderators on the panel.
No, there'll be no Jersey influence in this whatsoever. This is New York coming and Philly coming into New Jersey saying, hey, there's a big news story. Oh, we'll do that. Yeah. And it's
the
pathetic.
The infinite wisdom of Elon.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's a shame. Yeah. Starstruck, that's all. Amateurs.
The thing that I'm interested in here is that, you know, the voting is already well underway, and I wrote about this earlier this week at NJ1015.com, and now we actually are starting to see some numbers. You got about 200,000 ballots, mail-in ballots that have been returned already. As expected, it does favor the Democrats, but I was a little shocked to see the percentages. Again, take this with a grain of salt, because there are more registered Democrats than Republicans, and Democrats typically have a higher return rate of mail-in ballots. But the mail-in ballots that have been returned, and they haven't been opened or counted. That can't legally happen until election day.
Right.
After 8 p.m. Nearly 63% of the ballots returned are from registered Democrats, only 23% from Republicans, and 14% from unaffiliated voters. So, you know, you take that with a grain of salt, but you can look at it. You know, I would say that you have a lot of Democratic voters right now, particularly those that are more on the liberal Democratic side, that are motivated by the government shutdown. They're motivated by the anti-Trump rhetoric. They're motivated by all of those things and got their ballot and filled them out and returned it immediately.
Yeah.
You know, just to say, as more of an anti-Trump gesture than a pro Mikey Sherrill gesture.
And we've seen this before in this state. And I think, too, you can also pretty much, I'm not going to say guarantee, but you can estimate, let's say, that a solid 9 to 9.5 out of 10 votes on the Republican and the Democrat side are for the Democrat and Republican nominee, respectively.
Yeah, but I mean, it's you have to be careful when you look into that. And we saw that in the primary when we started seeing huge amounts of mail-in ballots being returned from Camden County.
Yeah.
The conventional wisdom said, oh, that's Steve Sweeney territory. That's really good for him. Once they were opened and counted, that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
Those predominantly were Mikey Sherrill ballots. The same thing is, you know, you could look at Monmouth and Ocean County and say, oh, well, if there's a large number of ballots being returned there, you could extrapolate that and say, oh, that's heavy turnout in traditionally Republican areas, so that favors the GOP nominee. But sometimes it doesn't.
Well,
so, you know, I mean, you don't know. They're returned, but you don't know what's inside.
Well, and given the makeup, especially of Monmouth County, I mean, the Republican Party in Monmouth County is such a failing organization. I mean, you look at the trends, right, in the seats they've lost.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now you're looking at they're touting that they're going to take back the 11th district, which is Senator Vingo Powell and the two assembly members. I don't see any polling that indicates that that's even remotely possible. No. I also know that the spending on the Democrats far, far exceeds the Republicans. If you look at the projected spending, what they've booked in advertising, it's like almost, what is it, like 9 to 1? I mean, it's overwhelming. And, you know, that speaks to a lack of organization. It's almost like they rest on their laurels and think, you know, we've got the issues, we've got the president. But as it was pointed out yesterday with my friend and guest, Bill Stepien, you know, it's not going unnoticed that the Republicans are in charge of the White House and both houses of Congress, yet still we're going through a government shutdown. So there is some motivation on the part of Democrats to say, look, you guys are in charge and not solving this.
Well, and I think it also is telling when you look at the national money that is flowing into Mikey Sherrill's campaign and the lack of it that is flowing into the Republican nominee's campaign. I think that's very telling because you do know that the RNC will spend in areas where they think there's a good chance to win.
Yeah.
And they're not spending in this race.
They're not spending. I mean, I think the RGA, maybe $3 million. I mean, compared to what the DGA and the different PACs on Mikey Sherrill's side have spent more than $20 million. I mean, it's... So I want to see if it... We'll see what the polls are this week because
there's got to be one in the field. I'm hearing that there is another public poll that's in the...
I'm getting them. And the comparison with Virginia... Because last count, Winsome Sears had pulled within 3 points.
Yeah.
And now you've got the controversy over the attorney general candidate talking about shooting opponents. My God, this guy's nuts and unhinged. And it's having an impact. So we'll see. More to come. Question for you. You watching the debate tonight. Have you already cast your vote or what are you waiting for to hear from either candidate to make a decision in November? 1-800-283-101.5, 617, fast traffic, instant weather next.
Where news, talk, weather, and traffic come together to keep you informed and connected to everything Jersey. This is New Jersey 101.5.
622 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Jill, the skinny bridge. I'm serious. Like, I don't know. Like, you've heard of fat shaming. But
skinny bridge shaming?
Well, I have to fold my mirrors in on my truck to go over either of those. What is it? Calhoun.
And we're talking about the Washington Crossing.
The Washington Crossing Bridge.
Yeah.
Jody avoids it when we head over, because we go regularly to Solbury Market.
Yeah, I love it.
The raw milk and the raw cheese.
Yeah, in Bucks County.
And I go through New Hope. So I take that bridge. That bridge is fine.
And they just fixed it. Yeah, they fixed it.
It's a good bridge.
I love that bridge.
But a friend of ours was, I think it was the Calhoun Bridge, stopped traffic for a half hour because some dude in a truck was too wide. So everybody follows him on, but the guy in front of him couldn't go. So they got two cars facing off.
Right, it's a standoff.
It was a standoff.
We can't say, you know, any type of standoff. It was a standoff. It was a bridge standoff.
What other kind of standoff?
No, don't go there.
Anyway, so
let me think about that.
You
for a
said
minute.
My friend caused the.
No, she was stuck in it.
She was stuck in it.
And yeah. And apparently there was a lot of road rage going on because people got out of their cars screaming at the truck driver.
Yeah.
Like, how do you know? First of all, the signage is not good. It doesn't say skinny bridge ahead.
No, it doesn't.
Right?
Well, there's a lot of signs that say don't get on this bridge if you're too wide.
But what does that mean? I mean, is that the driver or the car? What are you talking about there?
Like
how do you know?
Not like fat shaming or anything. Don't get all worked up, but... Yeah, it's well. Letting you know because I lost a mirror, a side view mirror on the Washington
It's so
Crossing.
Easy. That's why I tucked them in.
All right, here's your choices: Washington Crossing Bridge,
yep.
Right? Calhoun Street Bridge, Calhoun yep. Street Bridge, or the Burlington Bristol Bridge.
So, is that 202?
Burlington Bristol Bridge is Burlington to Bristol.
Yeah, but which what road is that? It's 130, right? Yeah. Oh, that's the easiest one.
See, that one freaks me out.
Why?
The Burlington-Bristol Bridge, because it's high in the sky.
No, but the more northern bridge is better. The one that is, I think it's 202. I don't know. Someone can correct
me. Oh, yeah, well, 202. Yeah,
coming over
I'm just
from
saying,
Hunterdon County, that's
oh,
the
no,
easiest
that
one.
One's
you don't
great.
Even know you're on a bridge.
No, I'm asking you, if you had to choose between the skinny bridges.
Oh,
okay,
I would say 130.
Burlington Bristol.
Burlington
Bridge?
Bristol.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one I don't like.
Because it's high, right?
That's why
it's the
I
high
like
one.
It.
I know,
like,
I know. That's a thing. Like, Jody doesn't love the bridges. That's a thing in her family. They don't, because some of the bridges in Rhode Island, where they were growing up, like, are skinny and tall. And it was one bridge.
It's steep.
The only bridge I didn't like was the one in, I think it was Charleston. Where you come up and you can't see the other side. Like,
oh,
you're coming
God,
up like it's
like
a roller coaster
dream.
Ride.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I don't like that. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, that is just, who designed
so,
that?
Stay off the, Kathy, we have a new number, 1-800-BRIDGE-TALK. Bridge Talk. I like that. We're talking bridges. 1-800-283-101.5. All right, other side, if you want to weigh in on the skinny bridge, hey, if you were the guy that caused the backup on the skinny bridge. I'd love to hear from you and find out why. Because I am in your corner. I don't think it was your fault. The signs are awful. They should warn you. There should be big flashing signs. Hey, dummy, your car is too wide.
You're too wide. What are you
don't
thinking?
Don't go this
what
way.
What are you thinking?
Right?
And there are people that have fear of bridges.
That's a real fear.
They will go all
do you have
the
a fear
around.
Of bridges? I never understood that. But, a fear is a fear, right? So have you, I'd love to know if you've been stuck, if you've gone over to the Pennsylvania side from Jersey, which bridge do you avoid? Because I think Jill's right. The skinny bridges are awful. And traffic gets stuck all the time. It's exhausting. And it's always somebody else's fault, right? 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 626, Eric Scott with your news next. 6:38 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia with you at 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. So, Eric, Jill was talking about the skinny bridges over the Delaware.
Ugh, I hate those.
They're awful. And, Jill, what was it? It was the Calhoun that you were talking about?
Well, I was giving you a choice here between the Calhoun Street Bridge, the Washington Crossing Bridge, or further south, the Burlington Bristol Bridge.
Which is the one where you have to go around a jug handle to get on? I think that's Calhoun.
If you're coming north. You're coming up north.
Yeah,
but I think you're talking about the makes, because the makes, you got to go kind of local. You know, you got
yeah, but I thought the Calhoun
one.
Bridge is a quick. Is it,
yeah, Calhoun, it gets a little curvy there. Yeah, that is probably what
right. Isn't it the
right
one where it's
29.
Like a weird entrance to? It's like you're entering a ride at
the
Great Adventure.
Directly across from the State House.
Yes, that one. That's Calhoun.
That weird,
that's so
29.
I'm going to revise and extend my remarks. I don't mind that one. I don't think the Calhoun's as skinny as the one north.
At the Washington
Crossing. Yeah, the Washington Crossing.
That's, that one I
that
is
like.
Really bad.
I really, that, yeah,
Jody
I
avoids
like.
That one like the plague. Like, we'll go out of our way to avoid that bridge.
I don't mind that one.
Because
really?
We play tennis at Bucks County Racquet Club, which is right across that bridge.
Yeah.
And
how do you go?
I'll cross over the new bridge.
Scudder Falls.
The Scudder Falls bridge. And then
that's
come
is that 95?
Yeah, that's 95.
Yes. That one is it. That's not even a bridge.
No, it's just part of the highway.
It's part of the highway. You don't even notice you're on a bridge.
That's
there.
A great. That is a great bridge. But nine times out of ten, if I have to do something on the other side, like along the water or in that
you
area,
go south or north,
I will go across the Scudder Falls and then head north.
I was telling Jill that a friend of ours got stuck in traffic because a truck that was too big for the bridge got on, and no one could pass. And the road rage. I didn't ask her which way she was going, but I'm going to guess the road rage was from Jersey drivers.
Jersey people, you think?
Well,
okay.
Maybe.
Oh,
okay.
No. You think Pennsylvania drivers are mellow?
See, and that's another thing about the Washington
Crossing. I think they're friendly almost.
Yeah, the Washington Crossing Bridge has an attendant at the bridge.
I love a good bridge attendant.
Bridge attendant.
It's like an elevator operator. What floor, sir? What floor would you like? I love that.
That's crazy.
We need more of that.
I will tell you that I always thought it was silly that, you know, cars have the retractable mirrors.
Now I don't.
Yeah. Now I do not.
Yeah, you got to pull them in on that bridge. But Eric, you were saying growing up in Buffalo that, because you're right, the fear of bridges is real. We have folks in our family that have legitimate, they're like, I can't go over the bridge. Like, even big bridges, Tappan Zee or Cuomo, whatever the hell they call it now, you know, they just don't like it. I know a lot of people that avoid bridges because the traffic's awful. You don't want to get stuck on it. And I wonder how much that phobia increased with some of the bridge collapses we've seen.
Well, I mean, back in the day, now we're talking about 80s, right? 70s, 80s. There are three main bridges that connect the Buffalo area to Canada, including the Peace Bridge.
Yeah.
And the fear of crossing that bridge was so significant that at one point it was the Canadian government that was providing a service where they would drive your car across the bridge and you could ride in this little windowless car right behind them.
Wow.
So that you could cross over. And they would do the same thing coming back, because there were instances where people were like halfway across the bridge
and they stop and we
can't go any farther.
I was going to say that if they're offering that from a government standpoint, that's not because they care about you. That's because it's like, we got to keep you moving.
Well, and that's also, you know, the Canadians are notorious for being polite and friendly.
That is true.
I don't know if they still do it anymore, but that was a weird thing that they did for a while.
That is weird.
Where they would just, they would drive you across the bridge.
I just accuse Pennsylvania drivers of being polite. I'm sensing.
I don't know where you're getting that from. I don't know where you're getting that from.
If you take Philly out of it, I find the people in Bucks County very friendly.
Oh, the people, yes. Drivers,
You think worse than Jersey? I think Jersey's the worst.
At least in Jersey, we all kind of know how we are.
All right,
and
it's
you
true.
You can kind of deal with that. It's sometimes the Philly and Pennsylvania, it's so random that, and it's just.
Well, maybe because they're bottling it up, because they're friendly some of the time, and then they got it. You can't all pent up. In Jersey, we'll flip you off randomly, just to vent it out.
Right.
You got to vent that anger out every drive.
Like, oh, it's, hello to you too.
Hello to you too. You know, yes.
How many times have you been stuck in the left lane with somebody in front of you going slow, and Sandra will turn to me or I'll turn to her and I go, I bet you it's a PA plate.
Really? See, I was going to say, well, the PA drivers are slower. As producer Thomas just held up a sign, he pointed out New York. The New York drivers are...
That's a whole other
character. They're awful. But they're aggressive and awful.
Yes.
But I was talking to a friend of mine last night who, his daughter goes to Alabama, and he said, just driving down there, people are nice. Like, they let you in when you're trying to merge. I said this of the drivers in California. They understand the merge, and they zipper.
Yes.
They zipper.
Yes.
Oh, you go. Now I go. You go. And guess what? They have more cars than people, yet you can actually drive on the highways. Yeah. Here, it's like a race to see who's going to cut you off first.
And I will be a polite driver and let people in and stuff like that. But you better give me a courtesy wave or I'll spend the entire rest of my day chasing you down just to flip you off.
I am with you. That not getting the courtesy wave is hugely aggravating. Yep. Jody has had to hear several rants of mine when I don't get it. So now she points it out. If somebody does wave, she's like, see, look how nice that was.
Yeah.
Like just to, you know. Bring the temperature down.
Uh-huh.
All right. Jason, Gina, I want to talk to you about bridges. What bridge won't you go over? Do you have a fear of bridges? And should New Jersey government maybe step in and get some windowless cars to drive you over the bridge? 6:44, fast traffic, instant weather next.
New Jersey 101.5. Are you ready for the $10,000 Thursday at you. Then each Thursday, we increase it to $10,000. Think about how you'd spend that amount of cash. The New Jersey 101.5 Morning Show gets the codes rolling starting at 8 a.m. on New Jersey 101.5. Complete contest rules and details on our New Jersey 101.5 app. $1,000 a day just for listening at work on New Jersey 101.5. Powered by Nissan. Fall starts with Nissan. Route 46, Route 17, Edison Nissan, and Route 33 Nissan. Where buying is always fun and easy.
6:53 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. So we're talking bridges. Let's jump right into it. Jill and I talking about the skinny bridges, and Eric brought up that this bridge phobia is a real thing. The Canadians have a windowless car that they'll take you across the bridge and drive your car. That seems pretty extreme. Is it? Is this a real thing? Do you have it? Gina in PA, good morning. Hey, Gina.
Good morning, Bill, and welcome back.
Thank you.
How are you?
I really appreciate that. Thanks.
I loved Eric. Everything was great while you were gone, but now that you're back, it seems like normal times again. I'm from Pennsylvania, so I was torn. I wanted you to win, but I missed you on the radio.
Well, thanks, Gina. That's a really nice thing to say. It is good to be back. It felt like a homecoming.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
So you take this Washington's Crossing Bridge every day?
I do. I go walking every day. I live in Doylestown, so I'm a Bucks County girl.
Oh, you walk it every day?
I go over to Washington Crossing Park every day. And so, listen, I'm not going to say New Jersey drivers are bad drivers, but...
there's always a but.
There is always a but, right? Because the reason I'm not saying that, because every time my husband drives with me, he's like, are you sure you're not a Jersey girl with the way you drive? But anyway, so if you guys just put your mirror in, that gives you how many more inches? And I can tell that some of those drivers, and I think what I'm noticing, they're usually the young folks. They're nervous, right? They have the, 10 and 2 and... On the steering wheel, and they just look like, oh my gosh, just get me to the other side.
Gina, you are so right. When I am going over a bridge like that, and you're close enough to the other drivers, I hate when I see the 10 and 2 because I'm like, oh my God, this person doesn't know what they're doing. They're trying to remember driving school. They have no instinct for it. That's when I'm concerned something's going to happen.
Exactly. So I put my window down, no matter what kind of weather, and just tell them, put your mirror in, give you that many, again, it's not a lot, but it's going to give you a little bit more room, right? So you're not so fearful. But
you're like a bridge mom. You're bridge mom. That's what you are.
I am bridge mom.
Bridge mom. I like that, Gina. All right. That is... It's a great point. I'm glad you do it. I've got to jump, but thank you, Gina. Appreciate your call. Gina, the bridge mom. I think that is a thing. Don't you feel like that once in a while you got to parent other drivers? You're like, oh, what are they doing? Stop doing that. All right, Jason, you'll be first on the other side. Talking about bridges, you afraid to go over a certain bridge? Do you have a fear of bridges? Have you ever had a problem on a bridge? Jill lost a mirror. I've been smart enough lately to at least tuck the mirrors in when I'm crossing these skinny bridges. Don't like them, though. 657, my number is 1-800-283-101.5. The news is next with Eric Scott in 3 minutes.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X, or visit NJ1015.com for the latest Jersey news and updates. New Jersey 101.5.
/710 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. So, Eric, we're talking about bridges. Yeah. And, this Washington Crossing Bridge, yeah, I agree. Some of these bridges across the Delaware, it's almost like they were built for horses and not cars. Like, you shouldn't have to turn your mirrors in to go across.
I remember I don't even know where we were going. Maybe we were going to Cafe Antonio, which is right across the Calhoun Street
Bridge. I've been there.
Yeah, it's a great place.
It is great.
I will tell you, they have the best buffalo chicken sub I've ever had.
and you can get, because they have a little pizza place next to it and then the sit-down restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
But the
is that the one that has the Vespa in the lobby? When you right when you walk in, there's like a light blue.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So Jerry Burke, my old producer,
yeah.
he's like, we got to go.
Yeah.
I think Governor Christie used to go there.
I will tell you that it was back in the day. I mean, you're even going back to, you know, like Corzine days. And even prior to that, that was the place to meet. When you were at the State House.
Yeah.
Because private, it was right across the bridge.
Yeah.
You know, you could grab something and bring it back, or you'd be there and then head back, you know, to the State House. But, you know, it's, so I had a friend of mine with me and we were going over to Cafe Antonio because I wanted to have this sandwich. And he was like, what the hell is this? What is this the bridges are like in New Jersey? I'm right? like, well.
Yeah, really. I mean, you can't believe how narrow they are.
Yeah.
And I mean, you got to figure, because they're so narrow, like it limits the options for big trucks.
Well, big trucks aren't supposed to be on them. I mean, there are some SUVs that shouldn't be on them.
If I take my car, I don't take those bridges.
Yeah.
You know, my Jeep is, it's just too wide. Even turning the mirrors in. Jody's is good. The smaller Jeep is way better. It's easy and, you know. But even your car, even your sedan,
yeah, it's
kind of big.
I won't go across in Sandra's SUV. And like I said, a lot of times I'll go over the Scudder's Falls bridge.
Yeah.
And then just head north.
And just head north. Right.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jason in Tabernacle. All right, Jason, you're driving a big rig. You're not going over these bridges, are you?
Nah, man, because sometimes I'll make deliveries right there in Langhorne.
Yeah.
And then I'll have to make a delivery to Junior's Cheesecakes, which is right in Burlington. It's right on the other side of the Burlington-Bristol Bridge, literally. But I won't go over it. I'll go down to the Betsy Ross, or I'll come over to Turnpike Bridge and just come that way. Because I don't, like, I see a lot of guys when they come over, especially some dump truck guys, they'll go over the line a little. And I don't want to get my truck broadsided or have the mirror ripped off because everything on it's expensive.
Yeah, because you're paying for that. You rip that mirror
exactly.
off.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm an owner-operator. So, and you talk about scary bridges. One of the scariest bridges in North America, in my opinion, is the Bay Bridge in Annapolis, Maryland. I used to go down to Florida. Oh, man.
I agree.
In the summertime, going south on that bridge, it's bumper to bumper. So I'm up on there with my truck, and it's just shaking and moving because the bridge has to. And I'm just like, man, all we could do is go down. I mean, it's so long. To me, going south, it's so long going to the top of the bridge because it flattens out at the
up
where it turns.
Jason,
south,
have you been on it? Right. Have you been on it in the rain?
Yes.
Horrible.
I've been on right? it where I didn't have a I've been on it with like half a load on, and it tells you like to be careful because of the winds. Like if you're empty, you're not even supposed to go over it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they'll divert the northbound traffic onto the southbound side, so you'll have traffic going both ways. Forget it, man. I hate that bridge. That's my least favorite bridge in the world.
Wow, I didn't even think of that bridge. That was I would take that all the time because that connects with Route 50. And you take 301 south through, right? And that's how I would go to D.C. to avoid all the traffic on the Beltway when you're coming to D.C. So I would go 301. You get off after the Delaware Memorial Bridge. There's a cutover road, and then there's a great fried chicken place, by the way. Oh God, what the hell is it called? It's at one of the gas stations. I know it sounds crazy, but back in the day when I was eating that kind of crap, it was really good. And you'd go through all that Maryland farmland, and then you cut over. Yeah. But I did that a couple times late. So night, rain, it's unsettling.
Yeah.
You feel like you're going to topple off into the drink.
Yeah, there's a lady that she did a video on YouTube. They pay her to drive their car over the bridge.
Really?
And they asked her, what's the craziest request you've ever had? She said, one lady wanted to get into the trunk, put a blanket over it while I drive her. And she's like, I can't do that. That's illegal. But, I mean, it is scary, man. When you're up on there and you know, it'll take you 20, 25 minutes to get across it in the summertime with all the traffic.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're just sitting up there, and I'm in the rig. It's just bouncing. I'm like, oh, brother.
Yeah.
We got to stay in the right lane because we're only allowed to use the right lane going over the bridge. So it's like, man, it's like extra scary.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, man, thanks for calling, Jason. Be safe
Welcome
on the roads
back,
today.
Brother.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Good to be back. Gina, you'll be first on the other side. Everybody else hang in there. Talking about your worst bridge nightmare, Do you not like going over bridges? Do you have the fear of bridges, or is it just some of the bridges, even if you're not afraid of it, you just don't want to be on them? 1-800-283-101.5. 716, fast traffic, instant weather next.
New Jersey 101.5. Remember, this Thursday, the $1,000 a day at work payday increases to $10,000. The fun kicks off at 8 a.m. right here on New Jersey 101.5. Powered by Nissan. Fall starts with Nissan. Route 46, Route 17, Edison Nissan, and Route 33 Nissan. Where buying is always fun and easy.
7:23 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Let's jump right back in. We are talking about bridges. It's a real anxiety people have. I got started because of Jill Myra talking about the skinny bridge. Thank you, Jill, for that tip. The skinny bridges, and I'm finding like people have a legit fear of driving over a bridge. Let's start with Gina in Woodbridge. What's your bad one, Gina in Woodbridge?
And for starters, I do have a legit fear of bridges, but why aren't we talking about the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel? It's almost 18 miles long.
Yeah.
And that scares the heck out of me.
Is it because you've got water on all sides? Is it the height? What is it that you don't like?
So it's really low to the ground, right? So that shouldn't be the height. It's just that first tunnel, when you come out and all you see is water on both sides of you.
That's what it is, right?
My breath.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm trying to think. Last time I went over that bridge.
When I go on vacation,
yeah.
I said, if I ever get like the lights, if they're going to pull me over, I says, I'm not stopping until I get over and off to the other side. I says, that's going to be that O.J. Simpson scene when they're following his truck. I says,
that's
going to be me on the news.
I'm trying to think, when's the last time? I mean, that is a super long bridge. I think we were, I know when it was. I was headed to Florida, and we were stopping in Virginia Beach because I was doing a road trip. I don't know if I talked about this before. Flavortown, Guy Fieri did a list of all the restaurants he's rated, and there was a barbecue place. It was either Norfolk. I think it was in Virginia Beach. But anyway, we took the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. Like I went that way, which is kind of the back way, but it was I don't know. I didn't mind that bridge so much. I mean, I get it. It's long, water on all sides. Any other bridges bother you, or is that that's your number one?
That's absolutely my number one. The weird thing is the George Washington doesn't bother me. There's all those tension wires and stuff on the side.
Yeah.
You kind of can't see over the bridge.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You get distracted by the skyline, I think, too, as you're heading over the bridge. It's different. It depends on where you are. Honestly, the traffic is so insane on the George Washington Bridge that you're distracted by that because people drive like crazy, and you're worried. If you have to go straight through, it's one thing. If I got to get off on the Deegan or something, it's totally different. You're trying to cut over. I'm with you, Gina. There are bigger problems than just the bridge when you're going over the GWB. It's like the Joe Carillo's Bridge. Same thing. Thanks, Gina. Have a great rest of your day. All right, AJ, Charles, Mike, I'll be right back. 7:26, Eric Scott with the news next. 7:38 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. All right, let's jump right back into it. We're talking about bridges. We've heard about the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. That's a long one. Have you been on that one, Eric?
I have, yeah. It's
15 miles long or something. 18 miles.
Bridge too, isn't it?
Well, she told me that was the lower one. I've been over that one. The higher one is the Annapolis Bay Bridge.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Which is not only high, but you know, water on both sides. Like even I've been over that bridge in a rainstorm. You really feel every bit of the height and the fact that it's water on both sides. I have no issue with bridges. I don't.
I don't either.
I don't consider them. I don't have a fear of that.
There is one right on the harbor on Lake Erie in Buffalo called the Skyway, and it is a high curving bridge that goes up very, very steeply and then comes down just as steep, and it is in a snowstorm.
they will sometimes close the bridge because vehicles have actually been blown off the bridge into the harbor.
That is horrifying.
And
you imagine you're in your little Prius?
Ugh.
Wind comes. Zoop.
Yeah. I mean, you end up at the foot of one of the grain elevators there on Lake Erie Harbor. But that was one that I remember being nervous going up and around sometimes when I was first learning to drive.
Yeah.
And that was one of the bridges that my dad was like, no, you need to learn how to do this.
I love that.
It's a snowstorm. We're going on the Skyway. So here we are on Route 5 on the Skyway. And there's a lot of accidents there from people that are from out of town because the view from the peak of the bridge.
Yeah.
Is outstanding because you can see all across the harbor.
Right. Yeah, but I like that I have that attitude as a parent. Face your fear.
Yeah.
Face your fear. You're going to be in bad situations. You know, my kids still talk about the bravery tests and things that we used to do when they were young and I would scare the crap out of them. But they're tough today now. And I mean, obviously it's, you know, Jody and I as parents, like we believe in that. Like you got it. So I love to hear that your dad did that.
Yeah, well, and we did that with our kids as well.
Well, and new drivers, right?
Especially
take
new
them
drivers.
Out in the rain, yep. The snow and deal with
rain
it.
Rain or snow, we're like, all right, come on, get in the car. Yes. We're going for a ride. You're going to learn. You're going to drive. In this,
every parent should do that because your kid's going to be on the road with me in a snowstorm someday, and I'd like to think they had at least a tiny bit of experience before they're out there.
Yeah, or in traffic, you got to learn how to drive in traffic. You're going on the turnpike. Come on, let's go. We're not just driving around the neighborhood. We're going on the turnpike. We're going on the parkway. You're going to sit in traffic on Route 1. You're going to learn what you're going to encounter when you're actually driving.
Real circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's go to AJ in Vineland. What's going on, AJ?
Hey, guys. Well, as you know, I do work at Philly Airport, so I cross the bridge every day, so I do not have a fear of bridges. But there is this one bridge in particular that it was the Queensboro Bridge that has an outer lane. And I'm talking about you're, like, on a ledge. So
yeah.
And I accidentally went on that lane, and I'm just like, oh, wow.
The Queensboro Bridge.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
On the eastbound side, there's an actual outer lane.
Yep.
And if you drive on that lane, it's like, oh, wow, you're actually driving on a ledge.
Yeah, you feel like you're on a cliff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I know. Very exactly. Very unnerving.
Yeah.
All right, well, add that one to the list. I think I got a list now of the worst bridges around the Northeast. Guys, don't limit it to the Northeast. If you've driven across the country, I'm trying to think, AJ, about bridges that I crossed. I know that one, I think it's Route 40 in Memphis, always under construction, or at least it was the couple of times that I've been out that way. But not, I don't know, crossing the Mississippi, not so bad. But I'm sure everybody's got whatever local bridge that you don't like, and we've certainly got them in New York and New Jersey. All right, do I have time? Yeah, Mike in Rumson, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Great to talk to you, pal.
You too, man.
So I had the unique opportunity to perform with you at the Hard Rock for the Troopers United event a couple of years ago with Eric Potts and Vinnie Brand.
Mike, wasn't that a fantastic event?
Absolutely phenomenal. Jeff Malachi got recognized that year. It was a really amazing event. Such a great time.
Good to hear from you, man. Thanks for calling.
I'm heartbroken that you're not going to be my next governor, but it's great to have you back in the morning.
Appreciate that.
Semper Fi, thanks for being here.
Semper Fi, brother.
So this is hard for me because being a retired cop, I think I'm in control of everything, but I have this irrational fear of horrific high bridges. I've had it since I was a kid. I'd have this recurring nightmare that I'm on top of a high bridge with no railings. There's a windstorm and I can't get to my family and I get blown off the bridge.
Oh my God.
Well, my daughter went to college in Newport, Rhode Island, which is a beautiful, beautiful town.
Yeah.
There's a bridge that leads into town called the Pell Bridge. That's P-E-L-L.
I've been over the Pell Bridge.
Do you know it?
I have been over it. We would stay in Narragansett. You know, my wife Jody's from Rhode Island. So every year, I mean, for 10 years, we took the family to Narragansett. We met up with all our New England relatives. And Jody and I would typically one or two days head over to Newport and hit some of the beaches she hit as a kid and go to lunch or dinner. That Pell Bridge, it's high, right? Like, and you see the island right next to you. Is it what?
Everything.
St. James, I think. Yeah. Yeah. The Pell Bridge.
Jamestown.
Jamestown.
Oh, my goodness. bill, I die a little bit each time I go over it. And my daughter stayed in Newport. She's still living there. And so we go visit on a regular basis. And I swear to God, I take a couple of years off my life. In fact, funny thing, today is my 50th birthday. So I might actually be 85 today because of the Pell Bridge.
Well, happy birthday, man. That's great. I appreciate you calling. You're not wrong about the Pell Bridge. I've got to ask Jody about that. We haven't talked about that bridge. It hasn't come up in a while. I haven't been there, and oh my God, it's got to be 10 years. But yeah, that's one. And because it's high, and it's like all those, and you feel like you're not protected. You know, big wind will come, and you feel like you're going right over. I hear you.
Oh, the wind, and all of a sudden you're back in Jersey. Yeah.
All right, man. Semper Fi. Good to talk to you, Mike. Thanks for the catch up. You take care. All right, Jim, you're first on the other side. We're talking about bridges, your fear of bridges. We had Joe in New Hope call, and then he hung up on me. Joe, why'd you hang up? For some reason, I guess you're just kind of into the whole spirit of the hate that comes out on Wednesday, but you wanted to yell at me, mad that I'm talking about bridges. Well, I'll leave the line open for you, Joe. Please call back, because nothing, I mean, the only thing better than reading the hate is the live hate. 7:45, fast traffic, instant weather next.
New Jersey 101.5. This Thursday, we increase the daily at-work payday from $1,000 to $10,000. Yes, $10,000. Win big with New Jersey 101.5. Powered by Nissan. Fall starts with Nissan. Route 46, Route 17, Edison Nissan, and Route 33 Nissan. Where buying is always fun and easy.
.752 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. Talking about bridges. You know, I didn't expect to be talking about this, but everybody's got a bridge that they're mad about or they hate. I've been resisting that this is a real phobia, but I've got some folks in the family and they literally will not want to drive over a bridge, and to the point where they've avoided even coming to see us, be like, I don't want to deal with the bridges. Really? But it's real. And some of these bridges, I get it. We've talked about a few. The Annapolis Bay Bridge, I think one of the worst. I think that one in Charleston where it's like almost like a roller coaster. You go up and you can't see the other side until you're at the top. It's a little unnerving. All right, let's start with Jim and Jackson. What's going on, Jim and Jackson? How are you?
Hey, Bill, how are you?
I'm good, man. Tell me, what do you got?
I missed you. I'm glad you're back.
Well, I appreciate that, Jim. It is good to be back. It did feel like a homecoming. Some people not so happy I'm back because they want to control the message, but that's not how it works on this show.
I got you.
Now speak the truth, baby.
Anyway,
what do you got?
There's a causeway down in New Orleans, and I don't get to butcher their name, but it's called the Pontchartrain Causeway.
Pontchartrain.
It's
over the lake.
Yeah.
I've been on it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's crazy. It's 23.8 miles.
It and you're on either side. It's low, right? It's swampy on either side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a low bridge. And it's
so
really
funny. So, Jim, I drove over that. Yeah, I think it's Pontchartrain is how they say it. I don't know if someone from New Orleans or Narlands could correct me if I've got that wrong. But it is a long, long causeway. And I remember going over it. It goes because Jody loves alligators and was hoping that as we went over some of these low bridges, you'd see it. Now, the Lake Pontchartrain one, I think it's all marshy when you get onto it and when you get off of it. But you're literally going over the middle of the lake.
Yeah, and you don't see the other end of it once you get on. And from what I understand, a lot of people have anxiety attacks and have to be rescued because they can't drive on it.
No kidding.
Once they get on, because you can't turn around. Yeah.
No, you can't. I mean, can you imagine if you're a passenger in the car and the guy's having a panic attack going over? I don't know what the solution is to that, right? I don't know what the solution is. But, in New Orleans, Jim, they used to have drive-through liquor stores where you could grab a beer Yeah. And, and, you know, not get drunk, but grab one on the way. Maybe that was the slip. I wonder if the level of anxiety has increased since they banned the drive-through liquor stores where you could buy a beer on your way in. Anyway, just yeah, a little speculation for the morning. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for the memory. Have a good rest of your day. All right, Chris and Rich, I'll get to you guys first. Other side of the news, which is next with Eric Scott. 4 minutes.
Where you can stay connected to everything happening in Jersey. This is New Jersey 101.5.
AM 810 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadio with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. So, Eric, Joe and Hopewell called. He had some hate to deliver.
Excellent. And
we wanted the live hate, but he hung up.
Oh.
So we're just going to have to, the audience will now have to wait for the recorded hate that will come with the Bill Spadia hate-o-meter.
And that's
908.
Oh,
we're
right
after the 9 o'clock news.
Right after the 9 o'clock.
Well, okay. At 9:30, we have a special guest in studio, our friends from Earth Treasures Jewelers in Eatontown,
yeah,
at Michael's Plaza, coming in to talk about gold prices.
Wow.
I mean, clearly, I, by the time we're talking about it, I've missed the opportunity to go and buy gold. The great news is Earth Treasures does that. And I've said this, that we, Jody and I were clean. We were, what the hell did we do? We cleaned out one of our closets, and there was just like some old stuff that had mm-hmm. been handed down yeah. over the years.
Yep.
So I have scheduled a time, because I'm very scheduled. I got to know every minute what I'm doing, to go to Earth Treasures, because I've got stuff to sell. And I want to get there before the price drops below 4,000, because right now it's over 4,000. Or it was overnight, right?
Well, it's 40, trending. So 4,
where was it?
The market's open.
It's going to be over 4.
It's going to be over 4, yeah, which is the first time that has ever happened. Ever.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But we had a friend of ours was saying, she's like, you know, I've got all this old jewelry. I mean, it read like a commercial. We're walking, and she's saying yeah. this, and I'm like, I'm living the radio show right now on a weekend. She's like, I've got this old stuff. I think my daughter's going to want it. And I'm like, let me just tell you.
No.
She doesn't want it.
No.
What the kids see is old crap.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree.
Right?
Do you know, for some reason, and I don't know why, I have saved my high school ring. Did you have a high school ring?
That was
a big thing back in the day. Remember?
I did have a high school ring.
Yeah. Yep.
It's gold.
It is gold. Mine is gold, and the stone is black onyx.
I think I have like a little tiny diamond on it. I don't remember.
I definitely don't have a diamond on it. And what was?
It was small enough that it was not. Nobody was. There was no, for color clarity,
yeah,
etc.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was the cheapest one you could get. It was a class ring. It was whatever they sold us.
What was the name of the company Jostens?
Jostens.
They. I'm sure you could buy them somewhere else, but I remember getting this because the jeweler was right next to my parents' restaurant.
Oh,
so
no kidding.
I would go in every day. Is it in yet? Is it in yet? Is it in yet? Is it in yet?
That's funny. I remember getting it, and I wore it for maybe a week.
Right?
Then I graduated, and I'm like, this looks pretty stupid.
Yeah, you don't wear it after. I mean,
people do. Some you like. If you went to, are you kidding? I see the Notre Dame rings. You know,
yeah.
Harvard. I mean, I went to Boston University, and today it's looked at as a much better school, I think, than when I went. Maybe just because the price is
right.
It's almost $70,000 a year now.
Yeah.
I just finished paying
for law school.
What?
So I mean,
oh my God, $70,000 a year? Are you out of your mind?
Oh.
I would have never even considered that. Not even a question. Anyway, it was not that expensive in the 90s or late. I went 87. I graduated 91. I remember getting the ring. Yeah, I don't know what happened to my ring.
We have a bunch of stuff like that. We talk about Earth Treasures all the time. Have you ever been there and watched how they had...
It's amazing.
Fascinating to me. I mean, with the
it's X-ray a great store.
Machines and
cool.
It's just in the high spectrum analysis.
Well, it's
blah, blah, blah.
Legit. They can actually how much gold is in each one.
Yep.
They're making a scientific determination based on the machinery they have and you're going to get a fair price.
And they do it right in front of you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like some of these places where, you know, well, let's take it around back and see what we...
Yeah, we'll let you know later.
Right at the counter.
Yeah.
And I was fascinated by it. So anyway.
I did a Christmas meet and greet there. Santa was there.
Huh.
That, I mean, I'm trying to think now. Probably 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, I'm thinking. Let's see. What year is it? 25. So Christmas in 2020, we were locked down. That was a hellish time. I flinch a little bit when I hear it. Think about it. I got a little bit of a tick left over from the old COVID days. So it must have been 22.
Okay.
Maybe 22, 23, a couple of years ago. Anyway, packed crowds. It's great. So they're doing this sale. So I'm going. We're bringing stuff. I've got an old watch.
Well, I think that's what we're going to do too, because there is a couple of things that I need. And you know, Sandra's going through all of her stuff, and it's a little bit easier. I mean, you have a daughter. We have boys. So there's nothing.
They don't want it.
They want none of it.
Yeah.
None of it. There's two things that I will save as heirlooms that I will pass down. I have my great-grandfather's railroad pocket watch.
That's very cool.
And it still works.
No kidding.
And I have the ring that my father always wore. And it has kind of like this carved knight's head in onyx.
That's pretty cool.
Those are the only two. Everything else, all my mother's jewelry, all of that stuff. I mean, because I took most of my mother's jewelry and some of her old diamonds, not that she had a lot, and that's how we created Sandra's engagement ring. So we took some jewelry from my grandmother, my mother, from her father, and her and that's how we created her engagement ring. So that was kind of cool.
I was also looking on their website. That is a very cool thing to do with the heirlooms.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants the actual pieces. They're not going to wear your old crap. But they have something. They have a 1915 Rolex.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's expensive.
Yeah.
So I'm tempted, because I don't know how much we're going to be able to trade in.
Right.
But
would I
wear a 1915 watch? Just the fact that a watch still exists from 1915. Think about the quality.
No doubt.
Of a watch that's 110 years old, still ticking.
I wouldn't wear that. I would wear it out for a special occasion. But I wouldn't wear it every day, because I bang my watch into like door frames and things like that all the time, and I would be terrified that I would crack the crystal in it I don't wear stuff like that.
Do you wear a watch?
I have an iWatch. Yeah, I have an iWatch.
See, I don't have that. But I'm a watch guy. I've always worn a watch.
I mean,
my phone tells me the time.
Yes.
But I don't wear any other jewelry.
But I never.
Yeah.
If I'm in the rare occasion, I put a suit on or we're going out to a nice fancy dinner or an event or something like that.
Then you would.
I'll put my dad's Navy watch on I'll do something like that.
Yeah.
But day to day, no, because I'm afraid of smashing it.
Yeah. I don't blame you. All right, Chris and Rich, I do want to get to you. I want to get back to the whole bridge conversation. I got distracted by, I don't even know. I just, all of a sudden, squirrel. 8:17, Fast Traffic Instant Weather next.
Live and local radio with personalities who care about what you think. We are New Jersey 101.5.
8:24, New Jersey 101.5. All right, let's wrap up this bridge conversation. There is a lot going on this morning. Chris in Long Valley, you're going to wrap it up. It is a real thing, man. This bridge phobia is real. What's going on, Chris?
There is this bridge in between Illinois and Kentucky. It crosses the Ohio River. It's called the Brockport Bridge.
Brockport Bridge. What is it? Route 80? Is it 78? What route is it?
It's like a secondary route.
Okay.
And this thing is like over 5,000 feet long, and it's one of those old, you know, metal truss bridges, you know, where you have the humps.
Yep.
And the entire roadway is that open grate, and it's so narrow, it's only two lanes wide, and it is just so intimidating to go over that bridge. And it takes like 5 minutes to go over the bridge because it's 25 miles an hour.
Oh, brutal. Brutal. And where is it? It connects.
It connects Illinois to Kentucky, Brockport, Kentucky, and it crosses over a very wide section of the Ohio River.
I'm looking it up on a map. I'm wondering if I've ever been over it. Because I spent some time when I was in real estate in Kentucky and that whole area training new franchises, and I probably have. I'm looking at a picture of it now. Yeah, it looks. How high is it?
It's pretty high.
The metal ridges are what, you know, it's funny you say that, Chris, because I was just talking to Dan Alexander in the newsroom, and he reminded me that the Merritt Parkway, which I love, I used to take going when I was going north, right at that 95, when you get off for 95, used to have an old bridge by the Sikorsky helicopter plant. And that was a metal bridge like that until they redid it and made it a road. But it was the same thing. You get the ridges and you're going over the bumps and it's intimidating to go over. Now, do you drive a truck or are you just driving?
Well, it was just for leisure when we were out there. Actually, yeah. It was back in 2016.
Yeah.
I was at a seminar out there for a pressure washer company for the company that I worked for. It was one of the brands we carried.
Yeah.
So we were out there for one of those seminar things.
Got it. All right, man. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Chris. Have a great rest of your day. Rich.
You too, Bill.
Thank you, Chris. Rich and Warren, hang in there. I'll get to you first on the other side, 826. Eric Scott with the news. Eight 8:39 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey. Taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. Rich, I will get to you. I'll give you the last word on the bridge thing. But, Eric, I just want to... we were talking about Jersey City, and apparently the heat is ratcheting up in this mayoral race.
You know, you expect, especially in Hudson County, that you know all races are going to be a slugfest.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, former Governor Jim McGreevy, he's still kind of the favorite there. But you know, things got nasty all of a sudden. It had been relatively friendly, and then McGreevy attacked his main rival. Basically calling him a rich, entitled elitist who can't possibly relate to people in Jersey City who are just trying to save their city and afford the rent. And then his rival, you know, smacked back and basically said, well, you've been taking health benefits you're not entitled to.
Wow.
And it all of a sudden, it like lit the fuse and it went kablam. And you got three real rival candidates. There's a couple others that are running. And technically, it's a nonpartisan election. And I think McGreevy's still the odds-on favorite to win, but he's not going to win with, you know, 50%.
So what does that mean? They have a runoff in what, December?
December, yeah. I think it's December 2nd.
Why isn't it just a plurality? Why not,
Each municipality can set their own, you know, rules. And because it's a nonpartisan race, most nonpartisan races, you know, do wind up having, you know, a runoff.
Who is it? Is it Bill O'Day?
He's the main rival. Yep.
And he's not is he a Republican?
You know, that's a good question. I
don't know either.
I don't know what he identifies
as. It's a funny way to put it. You know, I was there. So it was 2024. And we all remember the story of police officer Melvin Santiago, who was gunned down in Jersey City. And he was relatively, you know, young, new police officer, got promoted posthumously to detective. But I remember it was a hot, humid day, and Jim McGreevy was there. It was good to see him. I hadn't seen him in a while. And it was like, we're just happy to catch up, because he's been through the mill. I mean, and, you know, my Republican friends get mad because they're like, you can't even talk nice about him because of his history as governor. I'm like, that's the problem in politics.
Yes.
Like, you're wrong. You know, the guy's gone through this political and personal redemption. And for whatever his sins, this guy is, he is likely to be mayor. I will tell you, I think that I talked about this the other day about a comparison, and I'm going to ask I'm going to hopefully have David Wildstein on next week. I don't know if he's listening. David, I haven't invited you yet, but take this as an invite. Because I want to get his historical perspective on what to compare this gubernatorial race to. And my thought was, like, McGreevy is an interesting guy, and I think the Republican nominee today is very similar in that McGreevy came in with a ton of baggage, where you had so many people promise so many things.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, a lot of people that are screaming and yelling that have contributed actually to our hate-o-meter, which we'll bring out at 9 o'clock, are mad at my position in this race. But I'm like, you got to know what's behind it. And some of these nefarious characters out there, you know, they got their hooks in. You're going to have unelected lobbyists making big decisions on behalf of our state. And that I think when Jim McGreevy came out as a gay American during the scandal, I think part of it was that he was just throwing the shackles off and saying, you don't own me now. I'm done. I'm moving on. I'm leaving.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I don't want to
get into his head on it, but I thought that at the time.
And you may be right. I mean, and I think that's part of the reason why you had some of those party bosses that really pressured him to resign, because they knew that they were losing any leverage they had over him. And in private conversations I've had with Jim over the years, he hasn't confirmed that, but he's pretty much said that much, that at least, you know, that the yoke was thrown off of his neck.
You see how he's living his life now and running the prisoner reentry program. I mean, you know, we've had him on, and I'll certainly have him on again. And I want to talk to him after, especially during the runoff. But without being partisan about it, it's the, you know, Jersey politics is such a dirty, nasty, ugly, disgusting business. It's a wonder anything gets done. But there are some parallels and lessons to be learned about those that come in with the special interests owning them. That is a bigger problem, because then you can't really trust what you're hearing in speeches or debates or commercials.
Right. Because
somebody else is making those decisions.
Well, and look, that's why our job becomes that much more important, because having lived through that, having seen it, having had the experience, having know what to look for. You know where the red flags are.
Right.
You know, you and I both from different perspectives. That's why I think it becomes more important that, you know, we keep the pressure on for accountability. But you're right. I mean, there are lobbyists upon lobbyists that are surrounding the Republican nominee at this point that are going to be expecting, all right, we got you in here. What are you doing for us?
They're already saying it privately. They're actually saying it as a way of telegraphing, don't worry, we're in charge. He's not. And it's very dangerous. But I was mentioning Officer, now Detective Melvin Santiago, mm-hmm. and the tragic murder and his family. I had his mom, Kathy McBride, on the show, and then they invited me to walk in the walk. And I did, and Jody and I walked on that hot, humid day. And I will tell you, Jim McGreevy was there. He showed up in a suit. He was ready to go.
Always.
Like, it was impressive. And, you know, and I'm not going to say this to disparage the current outgoing mayor, but he had never gone over the 10 years.
Yeah.
He'd never gone. And Jim was there every year. And you know, I say this because he's thoughtful. There were no cameras there. Nobody was looking to get a press hit out of that. That walk was there to honor the family and the fallen officer. Yeah. It was not there. Nobody was there for a press hit. You were there to honor the family, and he has taken the time to do that. And I think that's something that hopefully voters in Jersey City will take note of. At least let me say that. You know, I'm not telling you who to vote for, but this is a man that has gone through a lot of trials in his life, made some bad decisions, made some decisions that some think he could have easily been charged with a crime for. But here we are many years later, and this is a man absolutely given back. And I have no doubt that Jim McGreevy is running for mayor because he truly believes he can give back and make that city a much better place to live and work and retire in. 8:47. Traffic and weather next.
Get the latest traffic and weather updates with the New Jersey 101.5 app.
8:54 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. All right, let's go to Dawn in Hamilton. You've been waiting patiently, Dawn. We were talking about holding politicians accountable. Not easy these days, Dawn.
Good morning. I'm going to turn my flyers and commercials into a drinking game. I've thoroughly said this to my friend because the flyers that are coming out, like Nikki Sherelle, I know in like Chesterfield, some local, you know, there's there's a politician that's running for re-election. And like all of them are saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. We're going to hold the utility, you know, companies accountable for their greediness. And me and my friend are like, aren't you already in there? Aren't you already in there? And I said, this is going to turn into a drinking game. I said, because this is how absurd it is. And for people that are going to vote down party lines, I'm like, you can't, you've got to do your research because some of these people are saying, this is what we're going to do. You're already in there.
Well, you have to look at what they have done, right? And this is why, you know, if you look at the Democrats, how have they been able to capitalize and take the lead on being the front runner of we're going to reduce your energy costs when it was the Green Deal, Energy Master Plan, all out assault on fossil fuels that spiked our energy costs in the first place? So, but the Republicans are so weak that they let them get away with it. The challenge with the Republicans is you got Republicans that have been in office for many, many, many years and were absolutely a part of the problem, taking the scraps off the Democrats' table. How do you, the best predictive analysis you can do on what someone will do is what they have done. And when you look at the complicit nature of, you know, on the Republican side, you look at the woke nature on the Democrat side, you can be rest assured you know exactly what's going to happen, regardless of who wins. And it's a shame. It really is. Which is why, Dawn, I focus locally. Because to me, we're going to turn the state around. We're going to elect good people at the Board of Education level, at the commissioner level. I remind my Republican friends that when Christine Todd Whitman became governor in 1993, who knew we were facing arguably one of the worst governors that this state has ever had? And Republicans controlled both houses of the legislature. They had the governor's office. And what happened? The Democrats started at the Board of Education level in Camden County, Mercer County, other places. Over 8 years, they built their party up from the ground up, ignored the governor's office. By 2001, they took back the governor's office. They had a majority in both houses of the legislature, and they flipped traditional red counties like Camden and Mercer into solid blue. So that's the reality. And it's the only way to do it. Dawn, I've got to jump, but thank you. I do like the idea of a drinking game. I think you could probably make a drinking game out of this show with some of the things that we say consistently. But I'm not advising drinking at 8 in the morning. I mean, unless you're on the late shift and this is your night. Patricia, hang in there. I'll get to you. 8:57. Hey, other side, the Spadia Hate-O-Meter is coming back, so get ready. Eric Scott with your news. 3 minutes.
Connect to the show anytime by sending us a message through our app. Just tap on Chat with Hosts, only on New Jersey 101.5.
He's got that ability to raise your hostility. So let's check out the online pleaders on today's Bill Hate-O-Meter.
It's really catchy, Eric.
I love it.
Right? I mean, I feel like I want to be in a jazz bar, though. What did I say last time? Like an old-fashioned.
You definitely need an old-fashioned.
Right? Little sliver of orange there with the muddled sugar.
Or maybe even, you know, like a gin Ricky or even a gin highball.
God, a gin Ricky. What are we, 80? That's at least an old-fashioned is coming back.
We can bring the gin Ricky
back. No, you know what I was thinking of? I was thinking of a Sazerac.
I bought
every once in a while I have it in my bar at home, Sazerac whiskey. It's a bourbon, it's rye.
Yeah.
And it's the New Orleans, because Board Op Kathy just asked what it is. So it's a New Orleans drink. If I remember, you wash the ice in absinthe.
Yes.
Which I have. You wash the ice, and now the glass is coated. You muddle, sugar. You need like a white sugar cube, and I use Peychaud's bitters.
Okay.
So the sugar,
yep,
the bitters, and then the whiskey. I think that's it. I think that's the end, right?
With a lemon or twist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. So anyway, that's what I get in the mood for when I hear the Hate-O-Meter music. So Patricia, hang in there. We just want to get to, as promised, we have a lot of hate that comes at the station. And as you know, for now, my 12-year broadcasting career, going back to Chasing News in 2013, I have always embraced the hate. Now, Eric, you may not be surprised. We are 3 weeks plus from an election. The hate is at almost an all-time level right now. So let's start with this one.
I still can't believe they put you back on the air. It's ruined my morning. I'm just so happy you will not be the governor.
That's a good one. You sounded really enthusiastic reading that one.
I was particularly enthusiastic.
Yeah, I felt that.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting about that? They're upset that I'm back on the air, I ruined the morning. So does that mean they're listening and just getting angry? Like, is that person listening right now? I think they are. It's very possible.
Oh, I think everyone, I think they're, beyond that, I think they're loyal listeners.
Let's go to the next one.
Spadia is a selfish piece of
I don't even know what to say about that. What? Selfish in what way? See, what I really need, let me just do this as a working this segment out as a work in progress. Here's what I think, Eric. I think we should connect with the people who write these and maybe have them call in and say, well, let me tell you what I was thinking. Like, selfish about what? Selfish that I went and got my job back. Selfish that I feel like it needs a little more. What do you think?
I don't know, selfish, self-centered, narcissistic maybe at times.
Do you think?
At times. I mean, self-centered just means independent. I'm confident. Outside force or influence. Self-sufficient.
I'm self-sufficient. I'm confident. Producer Thomas.
I have some context.
Oh, good.
I believe the context is that you will not endorse the Republican nominee. I believe from the Twitter thread that I saw, that was sort of kind of the context.
Now, how does that make me selfish? I would think, honest.
Wait, has he asked you to?
Funny, you should say that. Actually, no. Actually, if I recall, there's a radio interview with a New York radio host where said Republican nominee said doesn't want or need my support because he's already got all my voters. So there you go.
Well, then I don't know what the issue is.
Exactly. All right, let's go to the next one, Kathy.
Don't be so obtuse, you Princeton knob.
Wait, play that again.
Don't be so obtuse, you Princeton knob. That's one of my favorites.
That's pretty
good.
Because
there's so many layers to
obtuse
that.
Obtuse is a great word.
Obtuse is a great word. Knob is a great
knob
word.
Knob is good. It's almost a throw to across the pond a little bit.
Right.
You've kind of an English slang.
London.
Elizabeth
right?
and Charlie are in London.
Yeah. Yep.
Princeton knob. I'm going to send that. Actually, Kathy, can you send me that file as a MP3? Because that could also be a ringtone.
That would be...
Let's play it one more time.
Don't be so obtuse, you Princeton knob.
I think that could be a ringtone. Like, that could... Maybe Charlie puts that on his phone if I'm calling him. And he'll know who it is. That's the Princeton knob is calling. That's pretty good. All right, now this one. Now, Eric, I will give you credit. You were pulled into this hate.
Yeah.
But still, your enthusiasm... And your passion reading this came through loud and clear.
Good job campaigning for the Democrats. Both you and Eric are morons. I used to have so much respect for you, but I've lost every ounce of it. Don't call yourself Republicans because you're not. You guys are a disgrace to New Jersey.
Any thoughts? It's pretty good.
That one was relatively creative. It was very passionate.
And context. There's context.
And there is context.
That is what I like. The hate needs a little bit of context. You've got to kind of build it out a little bit. And I like that. But you got pulled right into that.
And you know, it's I read that on my 34th anniversary here.
34 years.
Yep.
Just to. Coming That's down to just, being called a moron.
Disgraceful. A moron and a
disgrace. Yeah. Disgrace to New Jersey. You're not a disgrace like to family and friends.
Right.
You're a disgrace to the entire state. as am I, apparently. Yeah, pretty good. Well, look, you know what? I appreciate all the hate. I'm going to tell you this. Keep them coming. But do me a favor with the hate. Don't be afraid to use those F-bombs, et cetera.
Oh, yeah.
We have a whole machine that takes it all out. So
those are my favorites.
They're the best ones.
Yep, they truly and, are.
But do me a favor. Try to follow it with a little context. Like, if you want to get out the hate, I get it. You feel like you want to just punch me in the head. I get that. But just clarify so we understand where the hate is directed. Is it like, I hate the show? Is it, you don't like the fact that I am not making an endorsement in the race? Or is it something I said? Maybe, you know, in the old days, Eric, when I was doing the TV show, I would get hate about my hair, my clothes. I mean, so anyway, context, I think, is important. If you object to me personally as a human, or is it my politics, or is it the low-quality broadcast that you think that I'm delivering?
I like all of those.
Oh, that is good. All right. Well, thank you for this week's session of the Bill Spadia Hate O-Meter.
He's got that ability to raise your hostility. So let's check out the online pleaders on today's Bill Hate O-Meter. So let's check out the online pleaders on today's Bill Hate-O-Meter.
Stay connected with traffic and weather updates every 15 minutes right here on New Jersey 101.5.
It's 9:23 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. Hey, listen, guys, I ran a little long on the hate-o-meter. Thank you for playing. Appreciate it. All hate welcome. All doors are open. The app chat. You can follow me on X at Bill Spadia. Follow me on Instagram at Bill Spadia. Send me a note, whether you like me or not. We are equal opportunity delivery on the air. And on the other side, I'm going to be joined by John, our good friend at Earth Treasures Jewelers in Eatontown. I want to talk about that old jewelry lying around your house. And what do you hear what gold prices are doing? It really is an amazing opportunity right now. Jody and I have already scheduled time, not with Earth Treasures, but just in our own calendar to make sure we get down to their estate sale, which is coming up 18th to the 25th. And but you got to hear more. And we'll ask John about gold prices and what you can expect if you've got some old stuff lying around that you want to monetize, turn into cash. Cash for gold, 9:24. Eric Scott with the news in 5 minutes. 9:37 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. So, Eric, as promised, we have special guests. John from Earth Treasures Jewelers joining us this morning. John, great to see you.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, so a price of gold record.
What is it
high.
Right now?
So it's above 4,000. And this is the biggest rally we've seen in gold prices since the 70s. It's up more than 25% since April when President Trump announced tariffs, which kind of had an impact on global trade. And well, I tell you, John, if there was ever a time that you were thinking about cashing in some of that unwanted jewelry,
you're right? It's been utterly insane. I remember several years ago when gold hit $1,000.
Right,
everyone was flipping out about it, and now it's $4,000 and rising, and it's nuts.
Has there ever been a time that you've seen anything like this?
No,
what you're seeing right now?
No, not like this.
I mean, you
not
guys have been in business close. four decades.
On top of it, silver is knocking on the door of $50 an ounce itself. It's $48 and change.
Yeah, I'm looking at that now too. But really,
morning.
All precious metals,
crazy.
John.
Yeah.
I mean, everything.
Yeah, sure.
So what happens if you have, because you're not, if you have old jewelry, you're not selling pure gold. There's other metals that are in there as well. There may be some silver, right? I mean, how is all of that taken into account?
You know, the beauty about coming to a place like us, listen, we've been doing this for over 50 years. We are the estate jewelry experts if you're buying or selling. But people will come in with inheritances and piles of things, and they don't know what they have.
Yeah.
They might have a pile of costume. They might have some silver flatware. They might have a few coins. They might have Uncle Charlie's gold crown. They have everything imaginable, and we've done this for so long. We're experts enough that we take everything, we look at everything, we sort everything right in front of the person, and we explain what they have. So if it's 10 carat or 14 carat or 18, or it's silver, or just a pile of costume, we can advise them and price it accordingly for them.
John, Eric and I were talking about this earlier, that like it happens right in front of the customer. Yeah. Describe how you do it. I mean, you could tell how dense the gold is. You understand what carat it is just by using the technology.
It's really, really important. You know, there's so many places that are popping up buying now, so you have to be so very careful. We have state-certified scales that are right on the counter, right in front of everyone, so we weigh everything. But we have something different than other places do. We have X-ray analyzers. I have three of them now. And basically, you put an item in, you close the lid, you hit the button, and it immediately tells you what the metal content of the piece is.
I saw that on the counter. Bill, it's right? Wild.
How cool is that?
You haven't seen it there, right?
I don't recall. I mean, I was there. Was it? When did we do this? The Christmas party?
It was
a couple years ago.
I mean, I think we had one. Machine costs $18,000.
So, wow.
So it's an extremely important tool, but it assures me that I'm buying what I think I'm buying, but it also assures who's selling it to me that, listen, if it's 18 karat gold, I'm paying them for 18 karat.
And how does it work? So someone comes in, they've got, let's say, so I actually was telling Eric earlier, Jody and I have now put it on the calendar during the estate sale from the 18th to the 25th. We're going to stop in because we've got some old stuff. I've got a watch that I want to unload. And do you do it as, like, I'm buying a car, I'm going to trade in the old stuff, or you give us a value? Do you write a check? How's it work?
Great point. You know, both things are happening simultaneously. Believe it or not, the pricing on the estate sale, if you're in the market to buy, is going to be incredible this year, too. But yes, we do offer trades. So say somebody has some stuff that we're willing to give them. We're going to give them $1,000 cash, and they want to trade it. Well, we'll give them 10 to 20% more to the trade.
Wow.
And just like if you were trading a car in, you don't pay tax on that portion, so there's tax benefits there too. So it's a nice incentive. If you have something that you've inherited that you're sad about letting go, but you'll never ever wear it, well, trade it in and you'll still have a memory on something that you really will wear and enjoy every day.
I gotta tell you, Bill, that vintage Rolex is starting to sound like a better deal.
I was telling him that I was on the website. You've got a 1915 Rolex.
Yeah, somebody was looking at that yesterday.
I mean, you better get down there. That's going to be gone. It's hard to, I mean, but the fact that something could function that long and the fact that you have it, like, that's the kind of thing with the estate sale. That's people coming in.
You know, we never know what is going to come in. Yeah. It's always, you see a lot of regular stuff, but then you see something crazy or unusual or rare.
Do you really get a lot of crowns? You get a lot of teeth?
Yellow
dental gold.
Dental gold.
16
karat
gold. You know, a nice crown could be $400 now, you know?
All right.
It is crazy. And it's, but again, it, you know, you mentioned gold, you mentioned silver, but I mean, it's really all precious metals, right? I mean, all of that stuff is just seen. I mean, think
platinum has surged too. Platinum is a bit more than it was last year as well. So we're seeing it all, and it doesn't matter what quantity or what condition or what it is, more buyers.
And you don't need an appointment. You just pop in, you bring your shoebox full of stuff that you cleaned out of the closet. I was telling the audience this morning, we were talking about a friend of ours was cleaning out a closet, had a box full of old jewelry, and she's like, you know, I'm going to keep this for my daughter. And Jody and I are like,
Don't do it. She doesn't want it.
Gonna wear it.
Cash it in. She's never going to want it. That's it.
Yeah.
That goes for the flatware, the silverware, too.
People right. What are you going to do with that?
People aren't entertaining like that anymore. No. You get a couple of grand for it, you know.
Yeah. Who's got time to polish the forks?
I do. I keep that stuff.
Do you do that? Oh, my God. It's old school.
For me. So it's, but, yeah, there's, we have jewelry we're bringing in, John, but you can't have my flatware yet. My kids will bring it to you when I'm gone.
It's right. But $50 an ounce. I remember I bought silver, I mean, years ago. Bought the coins when it was running about $19 or $20, went up to $40, sold it, thought I was a genius in the market. Now I'm so annoyed because now it's so high, right? I mean, it's...
My dad is an old retired jeweler, and he tells me when gold was $35 an ounce.
I remember when I was a kid, it was in the hundreds of dollars.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I kept thinking to myself, wow, that's a lot of money. And then here we are sitting here today, and it's still over $4,000.
$4,060 right now. Trading right now.
Right now.
So we've got to wrap up, but John, what do you want to say? Where do you want people to go? Just stop in the store, Michael's Plaza, Eatontown, right. Earth Treasures Jewelers, 50 years in business. You're not going to go wrong with these guys. And the website is earth-treasures.com.
Yep. We're there Tuesday through Saturday. No appointment necessary. Join the mayhem. You're going to be amazed on what people are selling and how crazy it is. We have state certified scales, that testing equipment, the licenses are on the wall. We're the real deal.
And the estate sale is going on the 18th to the 25th.
Yeah, that's going to be really, really people right before the holidays.
We'll be there. Thank you, John. Thanks. Always good to see you.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. All right, guys, 9:45, fast traffic, instant weather next.
Where news, talk, weather, and traffic come together to keep you informed and connected to everything Jersey. This is New Jersey 101.5.
9:52 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. Hey, I was at Via Sposita in Colts Neck last night. Wow. Wow, what another fantastic meal. And I'm going to tell you something. The battle for the best bone-in veal parm is on. And I've been writing about this for years. Like 28-25, I think they still have the edge over anybody. But in the running, 1051 Bistro and Clark. And, of course, Chef Vola's, which is down the street from Cafe 2825. But let me tell you, this Colts Neck place, it's opened, just recently opened, Via Sposita. They've got a couple locations. This one has a bar. I want to thank Angela, who was our waitress last night. Angela, what a great job. She's from Rhode Island originally, so she and Jody had some things in common, being from the Ocean State. But the veal parm, the bone-in veal parm, there's a picture of it that we're posting to the website. It's on there now. Oh, in a little bit. It'll be on there soon. You got to see this thing. It was spilling over the plate. Tender, cheesy, a little bit of crunch on the cutlet. I mean, just absolutely fantastic. So I highly recommend it. And unlike some of their others, which are BYO, this is, they have a bar. So anyway, to the whole staff at Via Sposita in Colts Neck, outstanding job. Really great. All right, guys, tomorrow, I want to talk about self-driving cars tomorrow. Friends of ours had their car drive them home last night. But then I find out that the cars that drive you around, yeah, they make you watch the road. Like, you're the backup to the computer. I want no part of that. If it's a self-driving car, I want to sit in the back. Coming up tomorrow, I want you to have an outstanding rest of your day, and I will see you tomorrow at 6.